Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:04 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 12th. I thought I would kick off today with this graphic of the Federal Reserve's total asset purchases. So they definitely ramped up towards the end of March, but since then, we've seen that on a weekly basis, they've been contracting. So there has been a significant infusion of liquidity, there is no question about that, but the size of the purchases has moderated considerably since then, and there's probably a good reason for that. When we think about what was the motivation for the Federal Reserve to get very active in supporting the market, well, it was because the stock market was crashing. And since then, we've seen a really quite impressive rebound. One thing that I've noticed over the years is that there is something of a delayed reaction in the stock market to movements in the willingness of the Fed to continue to provide liquidity. And it's usually about a week. And the Federal Reserve's reduction in purchases started to make headlines last week. So therefore, it might now be starting to filter through into the wider market today. And when we look at the S&P 500, it has rebounded impressively. We had a very large upper dynamic at the end of March that put in a low of at least near-term significance. At the time, I thought that it was really too much to ask for, that it would get all the way back up to the high, but it has done that. And now we're at the first area of potential, well, the second area of potential resistance. The first area was at the region of the 1,000-day moving average. There is now the potential, and I do think that this is still best-case scenario or territory, and it is that the S&P will consolidate somewhere between the 1,000-day moving average and the 200-day moving average, and that's about a 10% retracement from where we are right now. Now, I think this is one of the more important points, is that we've had the type 2 top formation characteristic. We've had a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. That's not something you just walk away from. It's a proverbial haymaker to sentiment. What I find particularly unsettling is that retail sentiment is extremely bullish, that there has been a clear focus to jump in and buy the dip back in March. And anyone who did that has made money. And that has further confirmed their conviction that any significant pullback is a buying opportunity. On the other hand, there are a substantial number of institutional investors who are now gun shy. They're sitting on the sidelines. The quantity of money that is sitting in money market funds has never been higher. So there has been a lot of cash been raised, and it is still sitting on the sidelines. So that means that the rebound we've had has been driven, on the one hand, by short covering, on the second, by people buying the dip and a lot of retail investors buying the dip, and then also from some reweighting, and I think also perhaps from some institutional investors putting some money back into the market. And then, of course, the enthusiasm from momentum traders to follow the trail of liquidity. So there have been a number of different sources of capital coming into the market. And the index is now right in the region of where the peaks were back in the latter half of 2019. So there are going to be people who did not sell on the decline, were waiting for a bounce in which to sell, and they may now be afforded the opportunity to get out with a comparatively mild slap on the wrist relative to the haymaker that had been delivered back in March. Those people will be looking at the market and think that at the first sign of trouble, then they will sell. And, well, the market has certainly lost momentum, and we had a small downside key reversal in here today. At one point, the market was in positive territory, and it very mildly took out the peak from yesterday and closed below the low of the day before. Now, the key to the key is size, and this is not an especially large move. On the other hand, if we get a downward dynamic tomorrow, well, then that would suggest that the sequence of higher reaction lows off the nadir in late March is under pressure. And then that would suggest that this rebound is rolling over, and we are then likely to see a process of consolidation. During any process of consolidation, not every share is going to behave the same. So when we look at, for example, a share like Microsoft, which had rallied really impressively and almost all the way back up to test the peak from back in February, it's a natural area where we might anticipate some support, some resistance coming through. The question is, where will support come through? And we've had a sequence of higher reaction lows. We've had these ranges, one above another. It would need to break that sequence of higher reaction lows and push down into the underlying range to clearly signal more than short-term resistance in this area. But if it does break that sequence of higher reaction lows, well then, at least a reversion back down towards the trend mean would be perhaps the most likely scenario. For shares that pushed on to new all-time highs, then they've got plenty of room in which to consolidate. And if they can hold the majority of the advance, and most particularly consolidate in the region of the previous peak, well then that would be really strong confirmationary evidence that there is more than a short-term steadying underway, and that we have potentially some candidates for the sectors that are going to lead us up and out of this this recession. The banking sector, on the other hand, is starved of avenues to make money. The yield curve spread is still really very well contained because the Federal Reserve is actively managing both ends of it, and it's locked around 50 basis points. Now, the S&P 500 Banks Index dropped today to break its sequence of higher reaction lows. When we think about banking sectors globally, well, they're all weak. So the Eurozone banking sector was pretty much unchanged in here today, but it has barely bounced from its lows from back in March. And there is good reason for that. The sector is in dire straits. The FTSE 350 banking index has also barely bounced. Even when we go and look at the Chinese banking sector, well, it has bounced, but there is still a clear downward bias. And I think investors are increasingly getting the message that the performance of the stock market in China gives us very little insight into what exactly is going on in the economy, because it is so actively managed and is much more about virtue signaling than the actual performance of companies and the underlying economy. I think the performance of the renminbi is also something that gives us a better insight into exactly what's going on. And the renminbi has continued to hold this move below 7. As long as it is holding the lows, as long as the dollar is holding its lows around the 6.9 area, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to additional renminbi weakening. When we go then back and think about, well, what's likely from the sectors that share this extraordinary pullback chart pattern, there are basically two different patterns that are quite common right now. The first are those that have recouped about half of the decline and are in the region of the lower side of the overhead trading range. Now the big question is, how much of the rebound are they going to hold? And will they subsequently find support above the low in March and be able to push back above the trend mean? And that is not a question that we're going to get an answer to in the short term. This is a multi-month question. Then, of course, there are the sectors that have not unwound half of the decline overall. They haven't quite been able to get back up into the overhead trading range. Well, they may yet do that, or they are more likely to subsequently come back down and test the lows. That's, I think, one of the challenges, for example, for the FTSE 100. It's also one of the challenges for the Euro Stoxx index. The Japanese, or the Nikkei 225, has been able to push back above the 20,000 level in the space of the last few days, but it's a big question whether it's going to be able to hold that move. The aspect that I'm particularly interested in is how well do the major FANG stocks hold on to their gains? It's quite clear that Amazon has stopped going up, and it also has pulled back in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today, and down $52. Now, there is the clear potential that it is going to experience some additional weakness, not least because the best of all possible worlds has been priced into the share. And it is still trading on a PE of 121, which is racy by any stretch of the imagination. Shopify is up to, well, was trading close to the $750 area, having more than doubled in the space of 2 months. Now, I think it is reasonable to anticipate that when a share is almost a multiple away from its trend mean, that it has lots of room in which to consolidate. The pressure that has been put on people by the speed of the decline to jump back into the market, well, that is, I think, indicative of the speed with which markets are moving right now. But it is worth reminding ourselves that the best time to buy is following a reaction. Markets do not always run up in straight lines, and that it is likely we're going to have at least some consolidation. And part of the reason that we're going to have consolidation is simple. Nobody knows how successful the end of the lockdowns is going to be. Germany ended its lockdowns at the weekend, and they have seen that their R0 has started to increase again. So, therefore, the transmissibility of the coronavirus in Germany has started to increase as soon as they ease their lockdowns. And we're likely to see the same kind of data come through from most countries. The vast majority of countries have learned the same lesson that China did, that closing down the economy in without an end date is incredibly difficult when one considers the health of the economy. There isn't really a question or a choice anymore. Lockdowns can't persist indefinitely, and the entire rationale for the lockdowns in the first place was to ensure that there was enough resources provided to hospitals so that they don't become overcrowded. In fact, rather than lockdown, contact tracing should probably be the main priority. So that means there has to be more testing, and then there has to be a lot more contact tracing. That's going to require hiring hundreds of thousands of people, and luckily there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people now in need of work. So it's not like there aren't enough people to do it, it's simply that there needs to be the will to engage in contact tracing. And all of that is necessary ahead of a vaccine or effective treatment becoming widely available. Against all that, obviously there's going to be have to be a lot more spending, which is why gold remains steady. But I think one of the most impressive charts around is the breakout that we've seen on the Nasdaq Biotechnology Index. Now, it was in negative territory today. It was down about 2%. The ability of the index to continue to hold above the trend mean, to consolidate in the region of the peak from back in 2015, is going to be a very clear signal as to whether this is going to be a catalytic event in terms of the ability of these companies to bring products to market in a very swift commercial fashion. We're perhaps not quite there yet, but it does look increasingly likely that that is going to be the biggest result of the lockdown phase. When we think about when are the best times to buy, well, the nadir and the massive oversold condition that we had, where there was an extraordinary divergence between the yield on the 10-year and the yield on the S&P 500 back in March, that was the time when we were at the point of maximum panic. Now we've had the panic subside and a lot of enthusiasm being expressed. One thing that I thought was particularly relevant is that nobody has any idea about what is going to happen next, and yet the stock market has recouped the vast majority of its decline. We are due consolidation. We have gone from extreme pessimism to almost no pessimism, and the market is probably somewhere in between. We're still only in the middle of the second quarter, and we don't yet know how the third quarter is going to play out. There is still a lot of uncertainty. I think that the impetus to buy and the fear of missing out today really should be resisted, because there is the clear potential there are going to be better buying opportunities over the course of the next few weeks. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. I wish all the best to all of you.